Welcome to Local Exposure, a podcast about music and the greater Cincinnati scene. I'm Jim Nolan. The third annual Bewilderfest comes to Urban Artifact August 24th and 25th, bringing two full nights of music and beer, and featuring over 30 national, regional, and local music acts on three stages. To celebrate Bewilderfest, Urban Artifact is also releasing three special edition beers, flavored with Black Raspberry, Boysenberry, and Montmorency Cherry. I sat down with Urban Artifact brewers Brett Baker and Josh Elliott, and music coordinator Jeremy Moore to get the lowdown on this year's Bewilderfest. Jeremy, Josh, Brett, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
So we're here to talk about Bewilderfest. Jeremy, what is Bewilderfest?
Bewilderfest is a two-day music and beer festival that we hold at Urban Artifact in Northside. And it's pretty much a weekend-long Friday-Saturday celebration of music and beer. It brings lots of people together. This is our third year doing it. And we are kind of building it into something called a boutique festival, where it's not so bloated as other really, really big festivals, and it's still affordable, but you still have really good acts, national, regional, local. And we do it in correlation with some of the beer releases that we do at Urban Artifact.
In reference to the beer releases, I guess that's where Josh and Brett, that's where you come in. You are both... Mm-hmm. Beer makers? What's your official title?
Yeah, we're brewers.
Brewers at Urban Artifact. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the beers or the special beer that you've created around Bewilderfest?
So Bewilderfest is a release for our spontaneous beers, which means they're fermented using yeast that we literally found. We set out like yeast traps, and whatever grows in them that is... capable of fermenting sugar the way we want to and tastes good, we will like blend together and use for barrel age projects.
Where do you put a yeast trap?
It's a mason jar. Like it's a mason jar with sugar water in it, but it sounds better to call it a yeast trap than a sugar jar. Yeah.
And did you actually put the jars inside Urban Artifact or around the town? Where did you place these?
Most of the ones that we're using for this came from on site. Or if not, they came from the hop plants that I had at home. But the lactic acid producing bacteria we use for sure came from on site. We did capture that at Artifact. But otherwise, they came from around Cincinnati. I think the furthest out we've captured is maybe 5 or 6 miles as a crow flies. But otherwise, no, they're all from mostly the neighborhood.
Is there an advantage to using locally found yeast?
It's interesting. I mean, how else could you get a really sincere taste for what Cincinnati tastes like? Terroir is a term commonly used in wine, but not really so much in beer. And we're really just trying to find applications in beer for it.
It's one of the few true expressions of terroir in beer. And it's great to be able to release these at what we feel is a true expression of the local music scene and pair that up with what a true expression of local beer is. It takes a lot of artistry and blending and effort on our end, just like it does for these artists who come in. And we try to use as much local ingredients as we can, fruit and the spontaneous yeast and all that fun stuff.
Define that term for me, terroir?
Yeah, it's basically means like of the land. Mm-hmm. And it's the term like winemakers use to describe like, oh, the grapes grown on this hill in Napa Valley taste different than the grapes grown in the Bordeaux region because of the terroir.
So you collected the yeast locally. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else goes into beer? There's hops, there's malt.
Yeah, we just have a couple of really starch-heavy bases that we use to make the sour beers. The big point for what makes these, distinguishes these from the beers that we make most of the time is the fact that these were aged in wooden barrels. And the wooden barrels are really just inoculation vessels at this point. These beers were brewed... November last year, and then sat with the microbes that we caught, and then over the last 6 months we added fruit in the area of 4 to 5 pounds per gallon, And we'll just buy frozen whole fruit and then stuff the barrel full.
What kind of fruits?
We have three being released. One is black raspberries. Another is boysenberries. And the third is Montmorency cherries.
And these are all small batch beers that you're creating. Mm-hmm. What sort of quantity are we talking?
I think the largest amount we had was about 160 gallons. The smallest is 85. It's a mix between like bottles, which would be for sale at the event, and then a draft, which will also be available at Bitwaterfest.
So have they been canned and or bottled yet?
This will be the second release for the boysenberry one, but the other ones are brand new.
Wow. So pretty excited to get public reaction, I guess, on these beers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool to finally, man, we started this 2015 to in 2018 and like at the end of 2017, finally be able to release beers in the spirit of something we've been trying to get off the ground for so long.
Do you have one that you prefer?
Yeah, I'm very, very fond of the boysenberry one, which is, it's called Bipalosaurus.
Brett, what about you?
I am a big fan of the cherry. It's just delicious. Stegosaurus is that one. The Montmorency cherry just has this really nice kind of, when you bite into a fresh sour cherry and you get that kind of like tannic sensation from the cherry skin, the fact that it comes through in the beer is not a common thing for a lot of cherry beers. So for us to be able to have this really authentic expression of this real fruit, it's something that makes me really proud.
And it's nothing like a hard cider.
Oh, no, no, no. Especially the hard ciders that I'm sure a lot of people are used to in the United States and locally. It's usually sweet, back sweetened somewhat, not fermented out of the way, usually marketed more towards one sex over the other, and not really something that we appreciate. And it's the fruit's usually made from concentrates on those as well, where everything we do, we really push the real, like we use real fruit, we use real ingredients, no extracts, no concentrates. It's all whole fruit that Josh by hand stuffs into these barrels until we literally can't put any more fruit in them.
Well, like most local beer makers, it's obviously a labor of love. Mm-hmm. Josh, where did you source the wooden barrels?
Most of those came from Louisville. Actually, I'm not sure where the wine barrels came from. And about half of what we were releasing is came from red wine barrels. But the bourbon barrels came from Louisville, Kentucky.
Four Roses.
Oh, yes.
Now, do you get overtones of the wine and the bourbon in the final product?
With the amount of fruit that we use, not a ton. There, it will have a slightly vitreous character to it, but it would be hard without provocation to tease out that it's like red wine barrels as opposed to just the tangy characteristics, tangy and a little bit like tannic characteristics that this can just contribute from the wood anyway.
So when you receive the barrels, is there any process that you go through, like washing them out, or do you rechar them or do anything before you put your ingredients in?
Most of the time, no. If there does appear to be microbial contamination in the barrels and we want to start fresh, then yeah, we'll open them up and scrape them and retoast the insides or char, depending on what kind of flavor we want to achieve. But largely, no, they come ready to go.
Jeremy, let's talk about the music.
Let's talk about music, Jim.
What kind of music do you have this year for Bitwaterfest? Because it seems like year after year, you've been bringing in, like you said earlier, top-notch local and national acts.
Right.
So I'm excited to hear what you have to tell me here.
Thank you. Yeah, we just wanted to go, you know, for the gold this year and kind of set a precedent of what we want to continue to produce on a music level at Urban. So we have national acts such as Colts and Moonhooch and St. Seneca. Moonhooch and St. Seneca both having like very strong presence on, they've had a couple Tiny Desk concerts and stuff like that. And bigger locals such as like Dog Yop, Freak Bass, Lemon Sky, Chuck Cleaver from Wussy. So we really want to just drive in that we do want to bring that top-notch music to not just to Urban Artifact, but to Northside in general, because, you know, it's really hard to bring in bigger acts around there just because the venues around there are just like pubs or bars, so they don't really have the capacity. So we're using three stages this year. We will be using our upstairs sanctuary stage, which holds roughly 500 people, and then we'll have our downstairs tap room stage and an outside stage this year. So no matter where you go on premises, you're going to be hearing some music.
Let's get some details then. Give me times and dates and who's playing on what nights.
It'll be Friday nights when we kick it off on August 24th. The headliners that night are Moonhooch, Freak Bass, and Ed Schrader's Music Beat. There'll also be performances by Go-Go Buffalo and Toothler's a Fang. It's a fantastic new band that we're really excited to have on the festival. And then Saturday we'll have Colts, Moonhooch, and Dog Yop as our headliners, along with Gangstagrass, which is a really neat mix of bluegrass and hip-hop. They're a nationally touring band, and we're really excited to have them in. And Us Today and Lipstick Fiction.
Us Today also recently did a Tiny Desk.
Yeah, they've been just leaps and bounds producing just amazing music, and it's real. I've been listening to their release Computant a lot lately, and it's incredible music just to work to. It almost has this Tycho-esque effect where there's no words and you're just, it helps thoughts process quicker and gives you more unique ideas on how to do things. And I'm really happy that they stepped on this year.
Well, I know several weeks ago when you were in here last, we were talking about the 4th of July party that you guys were throwing in Hofner Park. You had mentioned how excited you were then for the lineup for Bewilderfest. Are there any acts coming that stand out in your mind of, I really absolutely cannot miss this act?
Definitely Colts and Moonhooch. Colts is a two-piece electropop band, and they just returned from a hiatus. But they're just something to see. It's very good music interweaving sort of landscapes that they kind of go back and forth on. And then Moonhooch is they're a trip. They're a three-piece, God, I don't even know what you'd call them, like almost like trash jazz. But the lead singer has he puts a giant traffic cone in his saxophone, and it just makes this wild sound. That they had a really big viral video back in the day playing on like a New York subway, where they just started to go into different trains and whatnot and just start playing. Locally, regionally, Hello Luna is coming down from Columbus, and we're really happy to have them down. They've played Urban Artifact a couple times, but they're starting to get a lot of traction their way as well. Basil and the Supernaturals is playing Friday night. They are a soul funk jazz band from Chicago, led by Basil Al-Mahdi. He's from Aleppo, Syria, and he does like a lot of work for Syrian refugees, and puts a lot of his music is about that. And yeah, of course, Go-Go Buffalo is probably the most
mind-blowing. You've never seen them, have you?
Best. No, I've never seen them, but I hear so many good things about them, boys.
We've talked about beer. We've talked about music. What about food? Is there going to be food involved with this?
Wildfire Pizza should be opening on our campus in the rectory. They are a wood-fired pizza in a stone oven. They should be opening, hopefully, within the next several weeks, and they should be ready for their grand opening at Bewilderfest as well, which should be really exciting for them. It would be a really nice partnership between Urban Artifact and Wildfire. They make some really fantastic pizza, and sour beer goes wonderfully with pizza. The acidity just makes the flavors in the pizza pop. It helps cut through the fat of the cheese and the pepperoni, but it really blends nicely with the tartness naturally found in tomatoes. So we're really excited about it. But in addition to that, there should be several food trucks each day. There will be plenty of food options.
Yeah, and there'll be a magic show for the kiddies each day.
So for folks who want to find out more about this year's Bewilderfest, where should they go?
You could go to Facebook and search Bewilderfest, or go to the Urban Artifact page and look through our events. You'll see it on there. You could go to bewilderfest.com or artifactbeer.com and check out the deets on there.
Well, Jeremy, Josh, Brett, thanks for coming in and telling me about this year's Bewilderfest. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Bewilderfest comes to Urban Artifact Friday, August 24th and Saturday, August 25th. Music begins at 5 p.m. on Friday and 3 p.m. on Saturday.
For links to more information about both the music and the beers of Bewilderfest, visit us online. And while you're there, be sure to check out some recent interviews with Dave Gilligan and Jordan Foster, and catch up on the latest local music events with our weekly Music Notes feature. All of that and so much more can be found at wvxu.org/lx. Local Exposure is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio and 91.7 WVXU. Today's episode was recorded by Josh Elstro and produced by me, Jim Nolan. The theme music for this episode is by Scott Holmes and comes from the Free Music Archive. Find out more at freemusicarchive.com. And as always, thank you for listening. Until next time.